Welcome to Set for Life with Pastor Ray Jensen. You can find us at setforliferadio.com. Romans 10:9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So let's listen from God's Word, verse by verse, on how we can prepare for the coming of the Lord Messiah Jesus, who died on the cross, so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for life if you give your heart and believe what he's done for you. You'll be set for life with your treasures stored up in heaven when you're through. You'll be set for life.
I want us to remember that God made woman from man to be his helper. I want Anna to say a few things on that subject real quick before I start rolling.
Here, I thought I was going to be a little bit later. Okay, so I'm going to speak to the ladies at the moment because I want to show that I'm in unity with, not only is he my husband, he's my pastor too. And I want to show that unity of something that the Lord had showed me a long time ago when I was having to learn about the women of the Bible. And he had to bring me back to Eve. Well, I mean, for obvious reasons, but when he called her a helper, you know, a helper is someone who works together, but she was deceived. And we have to look at it that the enemy went through Eve to get to Adam. The enemy wanted to get Adam. That was his goal, but he went through Eve to get through him. So ladies, that's what I want to talk about real quick is that Eve should have said, you know, hey, go talk to my husband. She should have chunked the snake, one or the other. She should have done something other than she listened instead. And that's what I want to warn you. This is also for my single ladies. You need to be praying. Please, we ask that you pray for the married women. We ask you, if you're not married, to pray for your future husband, because the enemy's going to go through you to get to your husband. And the Lord showed me that that's what was happening. And he gave me examples. Sarah and Abraham, remember God made a promise to them that Sarah would have the lineage of his people. And what did she do? Here, hon, take my handmaiden, marry her and have kids through her. Now, Abraham should have said, what? No. No, they agreed. And what do we have? Ishmael. But later we do see that she comes around. She learns from it because they said in Hebrews 11, by faith, Sarah. But let's look at Job and Mrs. Job. Now, Mrs. Job did go through a lot. She lost all her children too. But what did Satan want from the very beginning? He said, I want Job to curse God and die. And what did the enemy do when all else failed, killed their children, took away the status, gave him boils? What did the enemy do? Go right to Mrs. Job and say, curse God and die. And what did Job do? Job said, nope, not happening. And everything was restored to him, including Mrs. Job got to have 10 more kids. So the reason I'm saying this is we have to be ready, ladies. Enemy is going to go through us. I realized that the enemy had gone through me to get to my husband, because that's who God set over the household, and he's going to use us. And when we talk about helping, let's be careful about how we say we help. I can take a rolling pin and smack Ray over the head. He is going to go to sleep, but he's going to wake up really, really angry. Or I can make him some nice warm milk. I could rub his shoulders. He's going to fall asleep and he's going to wake up in a good mood. It's depending on our help, whether they wake up the way they wake up. So let's be careful about what we say is helping. All right. So when we're a helpmate, let's be careful. So ladies, you're loved, you're cherished, and you're prayed over. Please, everybody be praying. Don't let the enemy go through to get to your husband.
This is Genesis chapter 3. I'm calling it the Great Fall. After listening to Anna, I would think I'd have rather called it Chunk the Snake. Maybe I'll just do that. Genesis 3, Chunk the Snake. That's great. All right. So woman is man's helper. And like she said, we've already got some biblical examples here of Satan will try to get to a man through the woman. Okay, because that's just kind of how it played out here. But we want to see it in Genesis 3 verses 1 in the temptation and fall of man. Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. I think that's something we often miss, is not just eating it, but touching it. You know, some people, they play around with sin. Well, I'm just touching it. Don't even do that. But this serpent here is Satan in the form of a snake. Like Anna said, chunk the snake. We should learn to chunk the snake. But let's remember that Adam and his wife, they were naked at this point, which means they were completely oblivious to evil. They had no idea what it was. They had no shame whatsoever. And the serpent took full advantage of their lack of understanding. He's going to take advantage of that. The serpent began his deception by starting with a pinch of truth. The serpent, Satan, is going to repeatedly use this tactic throughout history. In Matthew chapter 4, you can read that he tried to tempt Jesus by quoting things that God said from Scripture, things that were actually true. But after introducing the truth, then that's when Satan throws his spin on it, because he's got you going, oh, well, this is true. It's written. Okay, yeah, that's right. So let me go. And then that's when he changes everything and he puts a spin on it to try to get people to sin. That's why it says the serpent was crafty. He was crafty, meaning he was clever at achieving his own goals by using deception. Now, the fact that Satan was in the form of a snake means that Satan often disguises himself. Now, he just went to look as like one of the animals. If he showed up as this big, scary, demonic-looking thing, Eve would have said, I ain't listening to you, but he'd just come in as another animal. Well, we're around all these animals all the time. So often, it comes in the form of truth. Well, that looks good to me. And it's also a disguise. Well, it seems fine. And by looking at it, sounds good, looks good. Must be good. So he masked himself as something familiar to keep Eve unsuspecting of any trouble. Genesis 3, verse 4. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Okay, so Satan used a pinch of truth to draw Eve in, but then that's where he threw his spin, and he countered what God said. God told him, if you eat off the tree, you're going to die. Satan said, no, you won't. Satan is calling God a liar. He basically shrugged off the death penalty that God said would be inflicted. And here's where the lie got really, really big. The lie got really huge when Satan said, you can get away with it. So Satan is a liar, friends. That's something I want you to remember. And I want you to remember, he's not just an obvious liar. He's a crafty liar. He's sneaky. He uses disguises. And you really have to look at what's coming at you and discern it on what it is. Is it the Lord or is it evil? Okay. He's a liar because God said in the previous chapter, in the day that you eat of it, you'll die. And Satan said, no, you won't. Now, another little slick trick that Satan did here is he got Eve to doubt God's character. You see that? It's not just about eating the tree now. He's actually getting her to turn away from the Lord God by saying that if she ate off the tree, then she would just be just like him, just like God. Now, Satan tempted Eve. Get this. I want y'all to really catch this. This is a point I really want to make. Anna tried to make the point too. He tricked Eve into overstepping her bounds. Okay? She stepped outside of a circle that she was not supposed to leave. She overstepped her bounds. So Satan lied. He began his lies with a pinch of truth to it, and then he's going to throw his spin on it. Genesis 3 and 6. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Okay, their eyes did open, like Satan said it would. That was a little pinch of truth he came at them with in the first place. Oh, no, you'll be able to see after this. Okay, they're seeing something now. Their eyes were open. That's true. But Satan's promise that they would become like God did not happen. He suckered them in, didn't he? They should have chunked the snake. Satan is now known by man. Man now knows that he is a liar for what he truly is. But now Adam and Eve's purity has now become spoiled forever, tainted with sin and corrupted. Now look at how it impacted their lives. I want you to see how now their behavior has now altered, what it has done to them. Now they're acting different. They're now suddenly making clothes. They never had to do that before. Now they're making clothes to cover up their shame, now that they were aware of their sin. But now also the entire line of all of humanity would be corrupted by sin. That includes you and me. It got all of us at this from the first two people here. And every person throughout human history would have sin handed down to them from their ancestry. Nobody can say, I'm a good person. You know, when you talk to people about the gospel, the first thing they say is, I'm a good person. According to the Bible, we have all inherited sin. There's nothing you can do about that. So I'm thinking Paradise Lost, or was it? We got to look through this. I want you to understand as we study that God already had a plan in mind before Adam and Eve even sinned. He knew this was going to happen. Genesis 3 and 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Okay, now it's time to face the music, isn't it? You did it, now it's time to answer. Now, I want you to notice how God is confrontational. Okay, we don't like that word. It's not right for you to be confrontational. Christians don't act like that. Well, God does. He come walking, he's like, hey, where you at, Adam? Come on, let's talk. God didn't stay away from them thinking, well, you know, now's not the time. Their mind is frazzled, they're making clothes, they don't understand what's going on, they're on overload, I'll just leave them alone. No, God walked in there and says, Adam, hello, where you at, buddy? He went in the garden calling, and guess what? God expected an answer. Now they have to fess up, as we say. They have to confess what they've done. So there where God asked, where are you? That's not because God did not know where they were. That's something I want us to understand. God knew where they were at. The reason he called out to them is because that was his signal to them that it's time for you to step out and stop hiding. Okay? God knew where they were at. Adam, where you at? He expects Adam to go, I'm over here. It's like that time I got pulled over by a cop not too long ago. I was doing a little over the speed limit. Yeah, your pastor sinned. Okay? Fine. Send me a letter, whatever. She goes, hey, is there any particular reason why you're speeding? And I said, no, not really. I have nothing. And guess what? She let me go because I was honest. But it's like this. He's like, hey, you did wrong. Now you got to answer. He's like, where are you at? And it's time to come forward. So Adam answered to it, Genesis 3 and 10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree and I ate. There you go, passing the buck. I want y'all to see how Adam suddenly had fear. He didn't have this before. All of a sudden, he's got fear of the Lord. He never had a fear of the Lord God before. All of us are sinners. It's healthy that you have a fear of the Lord. But before this, he didn't have that. Can you see all the drastic and crazy, if not somewhat terrible, changes that has happened in Adam? All the big changes that's going on. He's not who he once was. He's been changed now. Sin has now invaded and caused pain. There's fear. They're hiding, they're making clothes, the shame is there, they see what's going on now, what's wrong. And God said they would die if they ate off that tree, and so they did. They're not who they were, they're dead. Christian, I'll tell you, even the unbeliever, if you're concerned, and it's like, oh man, I'm a sinner, what do I do? Well, you got to die. You got to die to yourself and be remade new by Jesus. But here they died to who they were. So God said, if you eat off the tree, you're going to die. Now, Adam and Eve once had life, which means they would have lived on earth forever had they not eaten off this tree. You know, it's very hard to believe, but Adam and Eve would be alive today right now. if they had not eaten on that tree. They'd still be walking around talking to us. I'm, you know, multiple thousands of years old. But they have sin set in, and now they would die. Sin is now in them. The pleasure that they once had was now pain. The relationship they once had with God has now been invaded by fear. They're now separate. You can tell that their view of God had changed because they didn't feel like they needed to hide from him before. They were walking together with God, hanging out all the time, communicating, talking. All of a sudden, they're running away from him. There is now conflict here. There is now alienation. There is now separation from God. So Adam is now in the hot seat for having to answer to God. And Adam said, well, this woman that you gave me. Now, yeah, we're going to laugh for a little bit in one respect. He shouldn't have said that. I'd like to think if I was Adam, I wouldn't have said it, but I probably would. He said, this woman that you gave me. He's trying to like pass the blame onto her for it all. God did tell Adam, do not eat from this tree. He said it to him. Adam could have said, now, I'm a man here. I'm going to talk for the men. Men, if put yourself in this spot. You could have said, no, Eve, I'm not going to do it. God said not to. And that'd be the end of it. Okay? But he didn't. But Adam ate anyhow. So you can see how Adam's character had been tainted by sin because now Adam is lying. Now he's doing exactly what Satan did to him. He's like, well, this woman you gave me, he's picked up some of Satan's characters. He's lying. He's trying to pass the blame by manipulating the story to get the accountability off of himself. It wasn't me, it was her. Genesis 3:13, chunk the snake. Genesis 3:13, and the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman ran away and hid. No, they're answering. I'm just trying to show you possibilities here. So the woman said, she's answering, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Now, again, God did not ask her what she'd done because God didn't know. He knew. The reason he asked her is because he wanted a confession. He expected Eve to give an answer for herself. People, I want to make a quick parallel. We're sinners. We need to learn how to confess like this. We are sinners. We know what we've done. It's good to, if we're going to daily sin, we need to daily confess. God, I messed up today. I'm sorry. Instead of God calling, hey, where you at, Ray? Where you at? Well, I'm over here. What'd you do? Well, this woman, well, you know, and then narrow it down to we're finally, okay, I did it. You know, like that police officer that pulled me over. Did you have any reason? Nope. You got me. You just flat got me. Let's just confess, guys, okay? So now they're confessing as sinful people. And now it's time to administer the punishment to all three parties. I got to thinking about this. Who's going to get punished here? Three are going to get punished. The snake, Adam, and Eve. They're all going to get it for what they've done, starting with the serpent. Genesis 3:14. So the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed more than all cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust all the days of your life. Okay. You know, I don't know if snakes had arms and legs back then or not. I'm just kind of thinking maybe they were different. I don't know. But we do know that even today, they crawl on the ground flat, just like the Lord God said. So every time I see a snake, I'm reminded of this curse here in the Bible, just like God's curse says. Now, let me throw you a question. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you see a snake? My first thing is kill it. That's what I think. I don't want to be friends with it. I don't want to go pet it. I'm going to kill it. And I don't care who it belongs to, if it's a pet or not. I'm killing it. All right. I don't know of anybody that can see a snake and say, oh, here, come here, pretty snake. Let me pet you. It doesn't work like that. Why do we just, there's a snake, kill it. Why do we think like that? It's because we know that if you don't, it'll bite you. The snake is going to bite you. If you've got any sense at all, the first reaction you're going to have to a snake is run away, get a shotgun, and come back and blow him into little snake chunks. That's what we should do to snakes. You kill them. We went to the farmhouse not long ago up in Kennard, and there's some steps that go up to the patio. And my dog got curious, and he was doing something under there. And what is it? And I stuck my head between the, you know, I shouldn't have done this. I should know better. I was raised on a ranch. I was trying to get my dog out of there. But I stuck my head between the steps, and right there was a snake body. I could see it. So we got out of there, and we got a gun, and we killed it. And we didn't see what kind of snake it was first. Well, maybe it's a non-poisonous snake. Maybe it's somebody's pet. Maybe it has a collar on with a phone number. No, you're killing it. Kill the snake. And after I killed the snake, I chunked the snake. Okay. I chunked him into a pond so the fish could have him. But snakes will forever be mankind's reminder about the temptation and the fall of mankind. I think that's why so many people hate snakes. It's a curse inherently built in thought process we have. And I also believe that's why snakes are so vicious and why they're so hated, because of this curse. Now, more on the serpent's curse now in Genesis 3 and 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Okay, this is where having been a Bible college student gets really fun, because there's a lot of neat things that happened in here that I want to show you. First off, enmity means hostility. It means very hot, frictional hostility. Seed means offspring, like children, what comes from you. Now, God said there would be a continual struggle between the serpent's offspring, which would be demons, and any person that serves darkness. If somebody's an unbeliever, terrorist, and what all these bad people, they are Satan's serpent's offspring. And also, the woman's seed, which would be Eve's offspring. We're going to see soon that she's going to have her first son, Cain, as well as all the rest of humanity that descends down from her. So you've got two different seeds talked about here. There is always going to be, because it says right here, there's always going to be very intense hostility, enmity between the offspring of the serpent and with the offspring of mankind. There's always going to be enmity, hostile interactions going on. If you look at Matthew 12, Jesus was talking to the Pharisees that were coming against him. They were serving darkness, thinking they were so religious. But Jesus called them a brood of vipers, which means a family of snakes. He was referring back to this original curse. You family of snakes. He was telling them who they belonged to, serving darkness. The Pharisees were serving evil, and they were pushing enmity against Jesus Christ. They were pushing a hostile struggle. Also, not just against Jesus, but remember, they were abusing poor people around them so they could get rich. That was their enmity, that little family of snakes. Now, this enmity between Satan and man, this is where we get all of our wars from. All the things that we see going on through human history, all of our terrorism, crimes, abuse, the terrible things going on in our world that people try to curse God for and blame God for it. Like, Adam, well, this woman you gave me, something bad happens. Well, God, you did this. Well, no, this is the enmity because of the sin. You got all these people that ask you, if God is so good, then why do bad things happen? That demonstrates they don't understand the first thing about the Bible. I'll tell you where it all comes from. I'll tell you why bad things happen. Because we are sinful. We are the ones that messed up, not God. So when people, oh, terrible things happen, how dare you, God? Uh-uh. We're the sinner, not him, right? Don't shake your fist at him for it. We're the sinners. So here in Genesis 3:15, God is saying Satan will always be the enemy of mankind, and anybody from Satan, he's always going to have enmity against those of Eve's seed.
Thank you for listening to Set for Life. We hope you can join us next time, unless Jesus returns for us first. Set for Life is the radio ministry of Pastor Ray Jensen. We invite you to subscribe to our podcast at setforliferadio.com.
Hi, this is Ray Jensen. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to encourage you in God's Word. If the Bible doesn't excite you, then you're not reading it. I want you to remember that you are not worthless. You are priceless. Messiah Jesus died on the cross to redeem you so that you can be set for life.
You'll be set for